For more perspective on this idea of valuing water and regional planning to harness water resources, we turn to Colin O'Mara, president of the National Wildlife Federation. His organization is trying to raise the importance of investing in water, from lead contamination in Flint to flooding in North Carolina and Louisiana. I spoke with O'Mara by phone from Washington, D.C., and asked what the National Wildlife Federation is doing in the Ohio River region.
One of the things that we're seeing is that there have been amazing investments made in the Great Lakes. There's been big investments made in the Chesapeake, but these investments tend to be in places that are seen as kind of destinations. Folks plan vacations, folks, you know, retire to some of these places. These are places where folks in some cases have second homes, but we're not seeing the same level of investment in kind of what I would consider like the working waterways, you know, places like the Allegheny leading into the Ohio River Valley, places like the Delaware River. 25 million people live in the Ohio River Valley Basin. I mean, that's, you know, almost a tenth of the country. And yet we've seen virtually no investment of federal resources, at least, in trying to clean up the legacy pollution. I mean, the Ohio is still the most polluted waterway in the entire country. So we've been working with some of the mayors, working with some of the different advocacy groups in the region, trying to begin talking about the Ohio River as a system, as a vision for the entire watershed. You know, there's been some good work in places like the Beaver River. There's a lot of individual groups. There's a bunch of groups in Kentucky that are working on the Green or the Cumberland. And what we're trying to do is actually try to unite those voices and actually trying to have a vision. So, you know, folks are as excited about kind of restoring these iconic waterways that in many ways help build our country as they are about, you know, individual economic development projects that may be coming along the pipeline.
You mentioned the economy. It seems like the most exciting thing that's happening along the Ohio recently is the ethane cracker that Shell is planning to build near Pittsburgh. You know, people are excited about the jobs and the economic development around that. In areas where there's more regional planning around water resources, what other kinds of considerations are part of the equation to value, you know, to how to use the water to create the best future for the region beyond industry?
So often in places that are kind of working waterways, we basically treat, you know, these water bodies as simply a support for these larger kind of industrial facilities. And you see it with crackers or refineries or different places. And those jobs are important, right? I mean, it's important to have jobs. And obviously, we want to be transitioning to a clean energy future and kind of reducing overall emissions. But we don't value the kind of the opportunity cost and the economic loss when you do degrade these waterways. Right now across America, the outdoor economy is about a $646 billion economy. It employs more than 6 million people. I mean, that puts it on par with many of the largest industries in the country. A lot of those are water-dependent jobs related to fishing or swimming or different types of outdoor water-related activities. And so one of the cases we're trying to make is that it doesn't have to be either or. The technologies exist now that you can actually have, you know, some industrial facilities and still not have to contaminate the waterway as a trade-off. The old dichotomy of having to choose between the economy or the environment really isn't true. And there's places in the country that are making those choices that they want both.
Can you imagine a future scenario where Pittsburgh is more like the Chesapeake Bay, where it's more of a recreational hub and people see this as a viable alternative to more industry?
There are amazing opportunities. It's the reason why Frank Lloyd Wright, you know, chose Falling Water and, you know, kind of the amazing resources just south of you guys as a place to build his flagship structures. And so, I mean, there are beautiful things in western Pennsylvania, and most of them relate to water. And so I think having more kind of regional pride and having greater value placed upon the importance of those assets at least lays a foundation for this becoming a greater priority. And I think that's what we're trying to do. And it's not something that any individual city or any individual, even an individual governor can do. If you can actually build these coalitions, they become nonpartisan in a way that it becomes simply a value and it becomes an ongoing priority. All of a sudden, the typical fights in Harrisburg or the typical fights in Washington begin to subside. I mean, I'll just tell you one quick story. A few years ago, the President Obama proposed a reduction in the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative funding. There was such bipartisan outrage that it was immediately put back, actually higher than what the original budget amount was. Given the political power that's in the region between Pennsylvania, Ohio, Kentucky, I mean, you have leaders in both sides of the aisle. You have some of the top Republican leaders in the country, and guys like Rob Portman in Ohio and the Senate Majority Leader McConnell in Kentucky. I mean, you have some of the most important people in Washington that live along this watershed that if we were able to make it a higher priority for them, there is no reason why significant investment isn't going into the region.
So are you getting buy-in from some of the people you've been talking to about these kinds of issues?
I am. I mean, I think that the challenge is that there's a little bit of disbelief. It's almost like they can't envision what it could be. I'd say I'm getting a fairly lukewarm reception, but I'm not, no one's slamming a door in my face, but no one also is kind of jumping to the front of the line saying we absolutely have to do this right now.
You know, you bring up, you allude to an interesting point, which is that Pittsburgh is not like some of the other smaller towns along the Ohio River, which are not seeing the technology and innovation. There are a lot of other things going on in Pittsburgh that have helped fuel the revitalization of the riverfronts that may not be happening in other parts of the Ohio River Valley.
I have a lot of friends that went to Pitt and Carnegie Mellon. I mean, there's, you know, so much talent, right, in that region, and so much engineering talent in particular that, I mean, I do think that the right kind of spark in Pittsburgh, you could actually kind of light, you know, kind of activity across the entire region. But like you said, I mean, Pittsburgh does have a much more diversified economy than a lot of places that were, you know, mainly depending on, you know, coal extraction or other types of kind of natural resources. I mean, I view this as a great opportunity to invest in those areas that need it most, hopefully give folks skills and economic opportunities they might not otherwise have. If we can actually restore some of the scarring on the landscape from some of the past extraction and clean up some of the mines and at the same time clean up the waterways, you got hundreds of thousands of jobs potentially, you know, hundreds of thousands of potential permanent jobs in the kind of wise stewardship of them and through industries and breweries and tourism outfitters. I mean, there's a ton of opportunities if we do this the right way. And there's no reason that there's nothing stopping that from happening other than kind of a lack of focus and a lack of investment.
Why is regional water planning an important issue for the National Wildlife Federation? And why is it a national issue?
You know, when we're trying to address the magnitude of the challenges that we're going to be facing as a country in the years ahead, when you think about, you know, issues around climate or issues around, you know, drought, our long-term salvation in many ways, and I think the economic underpinning of a lot of our economy, could be rooted in our natural resources, and particularly water. You know, it's great to talk about the Chesapeake and the Great Lakes. A water body like the Ohio and like the Delaware is actually more relevant to conversations that we're having in like the upper parts of the Mississippi or in the Missouri or even some of the issues in the Mississippi River Delta. And frankly, if we can show progress in the Ohio River Valley, if we can get it done there, if we can get it done in a place that's had a lot of legacy pollution, both from industry and from coal facilities and mines and things like that, we can basically make water work anywhere. And so for me, I mean, it's not just about the wildlife and the habitat and the short-term gains. It's really about showing that as a country, we care about these resources. And by investing them today, we're going to set ourselves up for, you know, another American century and not simply be strangled by the kind of the sins of the past and the mistakes that we made before. But we can really use water as a way to revitalize communities across the country.
Colin O'Mara, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Colin O'Mara is the president of the National Wildlife Federation. Next week, our series Headwaters continues when we explore the fallout from legacy pollution in one Ohio River community. You can find all of the stories from our new Headwaters series delving into the future of the Ohio River's vast water resources at our website, alleghenyfront.org. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.